Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, 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 welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 9th, 2015, and we got Old World Beer Chief Jeff O'Neill and the Beanery Brewery in the house. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. It's a special day. We've got some of our old pals back, including Jimmy Ludwig. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. All right, good to be here. Thanks for having
me. Beer Sessions Radio is brought to you by Union Beer Distributors, suppliers of world-class ales and lagers. And you can tweet at beer_sessions, and we'll get back to you. Someone out there is tweeting live, so. Here we go. This is a great show. You know what's so cool? I got Jimmy Ludwig back in the house.
Happy hour guys are here.
Earlier I was joking that your show is called The Mile High Guys.
Well, it depends which state we're visiting. So,
but I'm feeling really good. Justin Kennedy's in the booth, our great producer, and he's got a 2-month-old child now, something like that. And Dave Broderick, who's always a good buddy.
Hey, Jimmy.
You're in town, and Jeff O'Neill, our favorite brewer who brewed at Ithaca Peekskill, and he's got a secret project in the works.
We can't talk about that. He'll kill us.
And then some other guys like Chris Bala. He's got working on a new bar with Grand Army.
Hi, Jimmy.
In Brooklyn. And the guy I've been waiting for a long time, Mr. Luke Manson.
Oh, hello, Jimmy.
I think a couple years ago you won like Bartender of the Year or something, right?
I think most of the voters are here.
New York City.
But, that helps.
And
helps
Ian
a lot.
Campbell and Jason Merrill, part of the Worthy Burger. And
how you guys doing?
Ian.
Hey, Jimmy.
The Beanery Craft. So it's kind of like it's kind of like Vermont's taking over the show, right?
A little bit, yeah. It's Vermont came to New York and took over the place with coffee and beer and all kinds of things.
The big story was that, you know, Jeff O'Neill.
Very handsome.
Our favorite, everyone's favorite brewer. He must have won a Tap New York thing like 20 times, and he's made amazeballs and all these things.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
We got him in the studio to talk about what he's doing.
And, you know, he just happened to show up. It's so weird.
The Beanery guys are here with their coffee beer, and they're trying to take over the show.
I think that's the real story. They're taking the city by storm.
Yeah.
What's going on, Jeff? What's going on, man? Talk to us.
What have you heard?
I don't know. You just stopped by. What's happening these days?
Well, I'm opening a brewery in the Hudson Valley.
What?
I swear to God.
The heck you say?
Shut your front door.
Well,
you know, my favorite happy hour guy shows was when you went up to Peekskill and you interviewed Jeff and he showed you the cool shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought we weren't going to talk about the cool
shit. Oh, yeah.
You told me not to talk about
but.
It. That was a great episode. We every time we were up there with him, we had an amazing time. We tasted fantastic beers, and we can't wait to see what he's going to come up with in his next endeavor.
That was the first time I saw a GoPro camera.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, fun. We stuck it in places it shouldn't have been, probably.
You guys are savvy, media savvy. Let's cut it. So Jeff, you know, we got a lot to talk to you about tonight. But let's talk about the Beanery. And Luke Manson, says it's your first time on the show. What were some of the bars you worked at? I know you worked at Jimmy's Number 43. You still work at Blind Tiger. What were some other bars you worked at in New York? Because you're one of our favorite New York City beer guys.
Oh, it started, my great story started at TGI Fridays and Rockefeller Center. And then I was fired from there, and I was there's a place called 36 West that fired me. Hop Devil, Let Me Go.
Let's go back to TGI Friday. Why? And that last night that you worked there, I don't think you even got a chance to give notice.
What happened, man?
There was a patron that was clearly intoxicated, and the bar was very busy. And I asked the manager to deal with him because I refused to serve him, and he was using some colorful language. And then when I turned around, he tried to throw my manager over a railing. And so when I jumped over the bar, and just before my feet hit the ground, I'd already hit him in the head. And then I opened the door with his head, and then I threw him out onto the sidewalk, and that was pretty much it for me.
And now you're reformed.
Yeah.
Now you're selling beer.
At the Blind Tiger.
He hasn't done that at the Tiger yet.
There's other place you worked. You worked like this.
Anything
like the Goose Place. What's the Goose Place?
The Guilty Goose was fantastic. Yeah, I worked there on 23rd Street. I helped them get their draft program going. Ken Fisherman?
A fisher of men.
No. That's Luke Manson, his first time on the show. Luke, it's great to see you, man. And so what are you doing with the beanery? Because we tasted it. We did a show in February at the New York City Beer Week at Blind Tiger. And so I've tried a couple of them, but we're gonna taste more on the show tonight.
I guess I'm lucky enough to be the New York partner. So those guys are selling up in Vermont. I get to go around and help be the face in New York and set up events, go to events, you know, raise awareness, drink beer with people. It's pretty fun.
All right. And we've got Chris Bala, who was the beverage manager with Mile End and now with Grand Army.
Yep.
So what do you think about the beanery? There's kind of a buzz building about
There's
it.
There's a buzz. Yeah.
No pun. Well, actually, pun extremely intended.
Intended. Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things. I haven't tried anything. I'm excited to be here.
So Luke, as the New York City rep, you should start pouring us the beer.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because not everyone's tried it.
And tell us about it. What's going on here? It looks like we have a coffee IPA that we're about to pour.
And you got Ian Campbell, too. So Ian, why don't you jump in, too? So tell us a little bit about the beanery, the brewing project.
You know, so basically the project is really pairing single origin coffee with craft beer. So we're basically brew a base beer, and we're working with a woman who has a roastery called CQ. Her name is Claudia, and she's a certified Q grader. So she has like an amazing palate for coffee. So we bring a beer to her and talk about really the flavors that we're really like looking for. She matches a coffee bean that she thinks is going to be appropriate, and our head brewer Dave Yarrington pretty much takes it from there.
What else do you want to know? I think that
I asked it before, but again, why the hell coffee beans and beer?
So, because I love coffee and I love beer, so why not put them together? And I mean, that really was the whole business plan. One sentence with a question mark at the end. And, you know, it took us a long time to figure out how to do it well. We actually use Dream of the 90s as one of our models.
Oh, that's great. How are you doing it in a specific same methodology each time?
Or what's your process
different
like?
Coffee infusion, or how are you doing it?
Same methodology. And so we dry hop with whole beans.
Okay.
And it's just a matter of how long and how much. And so that varies bean to bean, basically, and batch to batch in terms of... You know, she's getting these coffees come from a farm, and they're going to be different, a little bit different each time. Mm-hmm. But she knows exactly the flavor profile she's trying to get, which sometimes the roast you can sort of get some consistency by roasting maybe a little more, a little less. Uh-huh. And so she's got an incredible palate.
And you're using different roasters?
So far, just Claudia, roaster. Yeah. And but that is part of the plan, is to... Gotcha. Find someone in New York and maybe more than one to work with, and just play around with that. And, you know, because it's fun to get, you know, different takes on what people, you know, they'll taste the beer and they go, oh, wait a minute, no, this should be something else.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
And even Claudia, you know, kind of goes around and sort of gets different ideas.
You know, there was a time a few 5 or 7 years ago
toasting
that the future of caffeine in beer was in jeopardy a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was some of those crappy ready-to-drink products. But
Well, some breweries got caught up in the shuffle, and I happen to be one of them with a beer that we made at Ithaca.
Well, tell me about that. I was wondering if you had made any beers with coffee or caffeine.
I've made a number of them through the years, but there was a beer we made at Ithaca. I can't remember which one of two it was. We got a letter from a consortium of state's attorneys general that wanted... detailed analysis of how we extracted the caffeine, what the caffeine levels were, and so on and so forth. And I didn't have we didn't even have a rudimentary lab in that brewery.
Huh.
So I didn't have. I explained my thought process and the relation volume to volume that it would take if you were steeping it in water, whatever, and what I projected the caffeine content to be. And I couldn't recall that right now, but that was the end of it. But it was part of a multi-state lawsuit about energy drinks and people.
Is there a labeling issue with caffeine in beer? I mean, is it something you gotta?
You have to indicate that coffee's added. I think.
Okay.
But let's jump back. So, tell us about a couple of the beers you did make with coffee or caffeine.
That beer would have either been a Doppelbach that we added espresso shots right into. That poor barista stayed up all night. Or like maybe
sounds like
maybe
Campbell.
The 11th anniversary beer, which was a coffee milk stout kind of thing. It was one of those two.
I just love how the coffee plays on the palate. I'm trying the coffee IPA right now, and it's like you get the 1-2 punch. You know, you get the grain and the beer itself, and then the coffee sort of follows up. It's a blast, man.
Yeah, and it really. We've noticed there's a lot of dry hopping in this IPA, and so as the dry hopping, you know, in a couple weeks, 2-3 weeks, sort of starts to drop off a little bit. The coffee becomes more prominent.
It moves forward.
Like
sure.
Luke was just saying, this doesn't have as much coffee in it. It's just because. The hop aroma and the dry hopping is kind of overpowering it right now.
Makes sense. As those oils fade back, then the caffeine
then
and the
shift. And you'll see on the coffee milk stout, the coffee is much more prominent. And it isn't aged necessarily any longer on the beans. So,
wow.
Yeah.
But Jeff, I can't believe you made a coffee beer before. I've never even heard of it.
I thought this was How could you not know that beer?
No, actually,
many
Dave,
beers.
Dave mentioned it was nice.
Dream
beer.
In the 90s, and yeah, it's a really...
At Peekskill, we made a number of coffee pale ales.
What Dave always says, Dave is such an insider, he always says the code word, like, dream of the 90s.
Well, it's just the name of the beer.
The name of the
Jeff,
beer.
Only Jeff knew what that was.
And no, like, we've had it.
Had it, too.
Squish.
Actually, you know what? Chad Rich is calling a beer Dream of the 90s, and I'm like, wait a second. It's okay now.
It's okay with me.
I know.
Well, that's cool. One of our Happy Hour Guy affiliates, Justin Squiggs, probably had a chair named for him at Peekskill Brewery.
Yeah.
I think he was there like once every
Friday.
Pretty much every Friday. So
I remember him running for a train.
Yeah, I remember him speaking about that beer in particular. He loved it. Yeah.
And then let's
show Chris. Was a mistake.
Chris Bile, hold on. Chris,
yes.
So tell us what's going on in Grand Army, because we're all just getting to know each other.
I mean,
new bar in Brooklyn, it's getting a lot of buzz.
Damon Bolte,
our speakeasy host from Heritage Radio Network.
Damon Bolte is a real brother of mine, and I've known him for a number of years, and he's one of my favorite cocktail people in the city. So it's really kind of like bar started around him. Our other partners, Julian Britzy from Rucola Restaurant, and Noah Burnemouth from Mile End, my other employer, are doing the wine program there. I'm doing beer. I don't know. My whole approach is just a pretty esoteric program in bottles, stuff that works well with oysters. We're essentially an oyster bar, but also a neighborhood bar.
I work well with oysters.
I work very well with oysters as well. And just draft beer, trying to kind of feature smaller, less known local breweries, and just kind of keeping
it
classic.
What are some of the beers you have on draft right now?
I've been really getting into the sour stuff from Greenpoint Brewing out of Dirk the Norseman. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised, actually, recently. I didn't know what they were up to. And so we've been featuring them on since we started. Other half with hoppy stuff. Three's Folk's Beer. Folk's Beer is making a stout for us.
Love Folk's Beer, man.
Yeah.
Do you have full control over the beer menu?
Yes. Yeah, I that was sort of a stipulation, but that's just how I kind of roll. But
I will not come to your restaurant.
But the guys running the bar are very, very cool, and we're all on the same page, and but I don't want to take too much time plugging that.
But we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, State Street and Hoyt Street in Boreham Hill.
But the question is, would you carry a coffee beer on your draft list at Grand Army?
I would entertain that if I liked it, and absolutely. I mean, if it's from some guys that I like and they're doing great things, then yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah.
Jeff, how about jumping on this one and help me out? Because to listeners, they're thinking probably coffee beans and beer, but this is the second time I've had it, and I really like these beers.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot more, I think, crossover in the flavor than you would think, or a lot of people might think at first blush. But there's like 400 different flavor compounds in coffee, or something like that. And there's a bunch of spots where that intersects with hop flavors and malty flavors, caramel, and a lot of the language is similar that you'd use to describe them both. And
but there's some pitfalls there, though, right? Because there's so many different flavor compounds, and would it be? I mean,
sure. I don't think there are any kind of hard and fast rules about how to do it right now.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, and you're working with a lot of agricultural ingredients, and it's part of the art of it, I guess, is juggling all that.
That's fun. That sounds like fun.
It sure is. And, you know, I'm jumping around because I want to get all the voices in. But I also want any of you that are listening live to know what's going on tonight and why I'm so excited. So Luke organized kind of a beanery crawl tonight. So what are all the places that have beanery on tap right now, Tuesday night, that we're going to visit or you're going to visit tonight?
Well,
can I start with yesterday? I'll start with yesterday. Starting from yesterday, we were at the Blind Tiger. Then we went to Murray's Cheese. Then we were at Birria. Then we
Birria. Yeah.
Okay. And then we finished up at Taproom 307. So then today we've been jumping around sampling people all morning. Now we're here at Roberta's. We're going to leave here. We're going to go have a couple drinks at Mugs. Hang out there.
Mugs Ale House in Williamsburg.
Love Mugs. Shake some hands. Then we're going to go to Jimmy's 43, a storied
East Village institution.
It's actually, he always wanted it. He got his corner spot. He's the
That's
corner,
right. He's got a corner spot.
Corner bar.
Too soon.
Oh, is that true?
And then late tonight, we're all going to probably crawl out of Proletariat, where they're carrying the beer as well tonight.
Nice. So this is what's going on. This is what I call a fun beer launch. You guys kind of did it on your own, and you know, I'm really looking forward to going with you guys tonight. So this is what when people listen to the show, like, where should I go in New York City? Well, I think Luke just told you.
Yeah,
so
that's like a who's who of great New York bars.
Yeah.
There's lots of others. None. They're popping up at all at every other minute, but those are some amazing, amazing New York bars.
All right. Well, we're off to a good start to the show. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Which was originally located on Union Avenue in Brooklyn, but has since expanded to its present location alongside the English Kills Canal in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Union Beer has grown dramatically in the last decade as the primary distributor of Anheuser-Busch products for Kings County, Brooklyn, through the hiring and development of the best people in the industry. In 2003, Union Beer acquired a powerful catalog of specialty brands, which immediately positioned them as the craft beer supplier to accounts in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island. Union perpetually tweaks their portfolio to maintain the highest level of stylistic breadth with the most coveted brands available. Through the highest possible level of service, outstanding salesmanship of the ultimate lineup of brands, and a paramount focus on education on all levels, Union Beer has solidified its position as the only source for the best selection of beers in the 14 counties of southeastern New York. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Hey, 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 welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We got some great guests tonight here in their studio behind Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick. You know, we're talking with Jeff O'Neill, great brewer, Ithaca Brewing, then Peekskill, and now he's going to head off into his own special new project.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Ludwig from the Mile High Happy Hour Guys.
HappyHourGuys.com.
And some guys from the Beanery Brewing out of New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, all over these awesome places. But one thing I want to talk about for this next segment is while we're drinking, Luke, what are we drinking? We're drinking one of your coffee bean beers.
That is the Ethiopian Coffee Milk Stout.
Oof. All right. I like it. So, Jeff, I want to bring this up. It seems like with brewers and chefs, it's kind of like whenever there, you know, a new restaurant happens or a new brewery, there's certain, you know, you get almost like put in front as the face of the operation. Because I know when you're at Ithaca, a lot of people identified the Ithaca beers with you and, sure, and at Peekskill too. I don't know. Let's talk about that a little bit because it's kind of like you're almost a selling point. Like, you're becoming a personality that helps drive the craft beer scene.
How does it feel to be a brand, Chief? How does it feel to be a brand?
That was a deep question, wasn't it?
Well, it doesn't suck, right?
Good answer. Very good answer.
But I think it fits in nicely with the know your farmer, know your butcher, know your baker.
Absolutely.
Like the farmer's market mentality, right?
Yep.
Like, people identify very closely with the stuff that they put in their bodies. They like to know, many of them like to know a lot of the details about it, and beer is one way to really, I think, express what you like philosophically by what you consume.
And when you're drinking local, it's cool to be able to see the guy who actually created that liquid. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
But for Dave Broderick here, I'm wondering if that question or statement resonates with you, because...
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we like to personalize everything, you know, and especially... you know, we're all in a beverage business, and so that stuff's very important to us.
Collegial element to
no question.
To,
I mean, it's like you love to hang out.
Alcohol in general,
mm-hmm. Right?
So there's a
huge social aspect.
Yeah, there's a huge social aspect.
And so it's great to be able to, you know, people that you totally respect that are making great stuff. It's great to be able to hang out with them and get to know them and see how their personalities. Get into their beer.
And it's a two-way street. Like, I always like to see the beer handled with, you know, a reasonable amount of, not that it deserves reverence, but, you know, respect and understanding. Like, mm-hmm. We have a very highly educated consumer base these days.
And growing more educated by the day. Right? People are coming in with a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
some
know
of them.
Enough to be dangerous.
It's one way.
It's always
it.
Funny. I mean, you see it at restaurants and beer bars, and especially when they're new or in an area that wasn't maybe as educated. When Jason and I were talking about this earlier at the Worthy Kitchen, which is our second place in Vermont, it's a very conservative area. It doesn't really know beer as well. And then at some point, all of a sudden, people start asking about sours.
Mm. Wow.
And that's when you just realize, all right.
The light bulb has gone on.
It just shifted a little bit here.
Yeah.
And like, it's going to be different now.
What's it been like for you? I can ask both of you guys as brewers. What's it like to have people come in maybe the first time around and not know a whole lot and then come back the second time around or the fourth time around going, hey, what about a sour? I mean, is it cool
it's a
to
lot
watch,
more fun.
Watch people evolve that
yeah.
way?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, do you have
there was a cool effect at Ithaca where it was obvious that the college students were becoming savvy.
Huh.
And it was the early days of like online beer community type of stuff. But there was a point at which I think it was beyond just the math of, well, this craft beer is stronger and it costs only a little bit more. But there was more of an understanding of, oh, I'll bring this home at Thanksgiving time.
Oh, yeah.
And it was cool to see that evolve over the.
I bet it was. I bet
decade,
it was.
The decade that I was
you watch
there.
An entire community.
Yeah, like at
change.
First we would not have any student growler customers. And by the time I left there, it was 75% student.
Wow. That's a huge increase.
You know, Jeff, how did
so
you
it's
develop
been cool
the,
to see the... Yeah. The audience develop.
Huh. What was it like when you... How did you develop the Ithaca Flower Power IPA?
You know, I had come from... We probably have had the same exact conversation on this show before, but I can't... You know, I started...
That's my only question.
I grew up in upstate New York in Binghamton, but I moved out west when I was after college, and I lived in the Bay Area for a number of years before my wife and I moved back to Ithaca. And I started my brewing career in the Bay Area at around the time that the first really, let's just say, American-style IPAs were being made, double IPAs. So that had a big influence on my... It informed my career in a lot of ways. I was always really enthralled with that bright, fresh, hoppy flavor that was... had so many things in common with other flavors that you'd love, like fruit juice or tropical or citrus. Huh.
I have a question.
I always loved that connection where the hop compounds were so obviously also similar or the same to other things that I loved.
Well, I love that we're talking about ingredients, right? Because this is a coffee beer show. So, Dave, you guys are dealing with coffee. Can you guys toss out, are there some other ingredients that you're excited about right now as brewers that you're like, I want to play with X, whatever that is? I mean, obviously coffee, that's huge. That's a big thing for what's going on right now. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, and one of the reasons we did coffee milk stout was to get that, you know, another little flavor, lactose.
Yep.
But things that relate to us, it's sort of things that relate to coffee.
Such as? Lactose.
So we're thinking, there's things like, you know, like a Turkish coffee, you know, like going to different kinds of coffee, and how do you make that into a beer?
Huh.
And so, you know, it's like, it's funny, my wife is really, she's worked in coffee for a really long time, and she's really into it. So we talk about it at night. It's like, okay, what else can, you know, what other drinks are there? And how do you reproduce those flavors? So I think that we're going to be doing a lot of that, which will be kind of fun and you know, sort of see where it goes. And other people are already doing it, but it, you know,
is the
not
mission,
tons.
Is the mission strictly coffee and coffee-related beers?
Yes.
Everyone will be?
Every single one.
Wow.
Yeah.
It'll never work.
And I know. that's what I keep saying.
Chief, what about you? Is there an ingredient you're kind of crushing on right now?
Oh, it's hops. It always will be. And I'm building a hops extracting factory, essentially.
Really?
So, yeah, that's the best way to describe it.
All right. I'll be there. I'll be right over.
Then how did you go from, I know it's generalizing, you had Ithaca Flower Power, then you had Peekskill Eastern Standard IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of these also happened concurrently with some of the hop breeding that's been going on in the Northwest. So, like, when I started doing this, there was a much smaller family, a palette of varieties to paint with. And over the last decade, these proprietary and experimental varieties have come to the forefront. And they've been, you know, evocative aromas and flavors. And I think very, you know, IPA is the best-selling style of beer, of craft beer,
yep,
right?
Agreed.
That was impossible to consider 10 years ago. And a lot of that has happened hand-in-hand with, I think, farmers who were commodities farmers in the back in the industrial brewing days becoming craft artisanal farmers and focusing on doing something that they can be, that they can sell as a point of difference from their competition.
And possibly make more money per whatever, per acre.
Yeah,
per whatever.
And it's been a really amazing thing to see. And, you know, it didn't happen right in front of my eyes, but I have met hop farmers now who live in the Yakima Valley in Washington who are huge hop heads. And they didn't have, you know, they didn't have IPAs to drink there when they were, you know, these are third and fourth generation.
That's crazy. They've been raising hops their whole lives.
Yeah.
And then now they're hop heads.
And they've never had hoppy beers come back at them.
I would have expected them to be the biggest hop heads in the universe.
Well, the cool thing is that they've actually, a couple of them spun out some businesses. Like one of the farms has a brewery on it, Balebreaker. Huh. It's a brewery that focuses on, I mean, for real hops that were grown within a mile or so.
Now, if we could put a coffee plantation right next door to that, we'd be in business, man.
You'd be also in the tropics.
That too.
Actually, I know a secret about this is for another show. I know the secret about why Washington State became this great hop growing region.
Oh, you tell me.
Okay, I just learned this. Before like 1940 something, the eastern part of Washington and Oregon State were practically deserts, and the United States built a huge dam, dammed the Columbia River.
Yep.
And because of that, Eastern Washington and Oregon became great agricultural regions. Apples and hops and things like that.
It's high desert there, but they have plenty of water.
Right.
And that was the change, and that's why a lot of people like John Siegel, their families moved their hop growing from New York State out to Washington.
Right, because
New York
was huge.
I love that guy.
Because hops are not, the hops don't do well in humid regions, right?
Right, exactly.
There's a blight or something, some kind of mold. So
they do. Yeah,
they do well.
Downy mildew is a problem.
Right, they do well in dry climates.
Yeah. But that's for another show, but sure. I will give a shout out to John Siegel, talking about ingredients, good point. Other Jimmy, two Jimmys.
Thank you very much.
John Siegel, Siegel Farms. You know, are there certain hop growers that you work with closely?
Yeah, and that's something that I'm certainly making a part of my core mission is that transparency and the whole supply chain, having really great relationships and maintaining those relationships because it's a really mutually beneficial thing. So there are a couple of farms, Siegel Ranch and Carpenter Ranches, that I've worked with for years at each of the last breweries that I've worked with, and I'm going to maintain long-term relationships with them. And
Jimmy, wait, let me talk. So Chris Bala, so you've been buying a lot of beer for a number of years.
Yeah.
And out of the hat, which of Jeff's Peekskill beers would you say you'd want?
Peekskill beers?
Yeah.
Oh, I really love the Shotgun Willie.
Mm-hmm. That's a great rock.
I mean, not Southern I'm also from Texas.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, tell us about that. Everyone wants to hear you talk about your beer. So what's Shotgun Willie?
But I should say, because I...
You don't really like that beer?
No, I love that beer. No, but I was thinking about this show, and I've followed Jeff's career for a number of years, and when I first started working at
Ben Kulikowski, right? Is that the connection?
Well, no, I was at Beercraft that was kind of my entrance into this business, but we had a big cellar there with a lot of your beers in it, and it was Ithaca Brut.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we had a couple of cases of what year was that? 2004.
We made a few, three or four.
But years. If I was to bring one beer to the show, it would have been that. But I had a couple bottles. But what I know or associate with you is that you figured out hops kind of ahead of the curve with a lot of people, and then also the wild fermented thing as well. And I thought that beer was sort of...
Well, I think my signature, if that's what you call it, is just flavor, being flavors. Flavor forward.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
Dry and low pH and so in balance. But
so what was Shotgun Willie?
Shotgun Willie was a rye IPA made with Nelson Sauvin hops. And if I'm being honest, it's heavily influenced by a beer from Alpine Brewing in San Diego called Nelson.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a terrific beer. Well, I'm going further with, we were talking about, you know, getting hops from a specific farm and developing relationships. I want to go back to coffee with Dave. And do you see at some point that you will be sourcing beans from a specific locale or a specific grower and people coming in saying, hey, I want a coffee beer with coffee made from this amazing place?
That's why we're doing this, so we can travel. Because I don't know if you've noticed where coffee is grown, but it's usually warm.
Yeah, and it's good things. Yeah.
Unlike Vermont.
I want to go to Costa Rica. But
exactly.
How cool would that be to brew a beer and have some? I would love that as a consumer to be able to say, hey, I want a beer that's got coffee in it that's made from this particular place instead of just like Costa Rican coffee.
See, we have this whole vision of pictures of Ian like macheting his way through jungles to get to these special beans and Instagramming the hell out of it.
That actually really is what the we do know the farms that the coffee in each of these are coming from. So the woman that we work with.
Yeah, so Ian, so the coffee IPA.
Yeah, so
and the milks that were those beans
Costa
from?
Rican coffee, but it's actually a farm called Macho Arce. Is where the Costa Rican beans come from.
Macho.
And the
That's a nickname for Latin Americans that have blonde hair. They're all called macho.
And then I don't think I can pronounce specifically or recall the name of the farm in Ethiopia. Well,
her name is Ashkenesh. She's like the biggest, she's the only female grower in Ethiopia. And
wow.
And she hires mostly, I think 80% of the farm is women. Jason was actually pouring an event and someone came up and said, is this from like Ashkenesh's farm? We've been there.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And she said it was the craziest thing because they looked out in the field and it was all women.
And that is amazing.
You never see that in Ethiopia. Yeah, they're doing a huge documentary on her. She's like a rock star in Ethiopia.
That's
coffee.
The milk stuff.
So we really like to be on top of knowing exactly where the beans are coming from, and that's what we're basing the kind of the recipes around.
You guys are awesome. This is so cool. We have so much more to say. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. I think we have a beer crisis in the studio. It's never happened before. And I think the reason is because Jeff O'Neill is waiting to open his new brewery. So he didn't bring any beer with him today. But let's jump to that. We talked about some of your previous projects at Ithaca and Peekskill. So what's coming up? When can we get your beer again?
I think, optimistically, I think it's going to be just about a year before we have a full pipeline. I think by this time next year, we'll be rolled out and in the market. And it could happen a little bit before now, or it could be happening right around now. But the way things are going, we'll be online in the first quarter of next year.
So if there's any hint of what you're doing, like, you don't have to say a town or anything, but it's in the Hudson Valley.
I'm going to tell you what it's
somewhere.
Called.
Yeah, is there
you
a name?
A name.
Is there a name?
Yep, there's a name.
What's the name?
There's registered intellectual property now. So
excellent.
It's called Industrial Arts Brewing Company.
I like that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
IAB.
We're going to focus primarily, not necessarily only on, but primarily on fresh hoppy beers. And we're investing a lot in process technology. In order to deliver farm fresh hops to your glass.
Oh,
so what are some of the things that you need as a brewer to really get the most flavor out of a hop? Since we're talking flavors,
well, I want to use a lot of raw whole leaf hop. So we'll have a hop back with some proprietary process piping that will allow us to immobilize hops. Use whole hops during the boil, which is
wow.
You know, a lot of small breweries can't do that because they can clog up the process. So we're doing some real specific stuff to use hops in different forms, in different ways, very late in the process.
And why do you prefer whole hops? Just for people that
I'm not saying I prefer them, but they have a different character, and it's, again, it's just part of the toolbox, right? So for better or worse, they're different, and you can create a different character with whole, and beers will be recipes will have whole hop, pellet hop, hop extract. It'll be any number of forms. Mm-hmm. But the idea is, what I've found is, you know, building layers of hoppiness is how to put the best foot forward in front of you.
Chief, I just have one
at
question.
At your kitchen table or
I just have
elsewhere.
One question. Will Industrial Arts have a cool ship?
We will not have a cool ship, but we will have a modern version of a way to control the temperature at that point in the process where we can... We're not going to focus on those sorts of old
right.
world beers, right?
Right.
So the idea is we're going to be highly repeatable. Quality and cleanliness is like number one here. Repeatability, simplicity, and control.
Well, the happy hour guys, right. Can we come shoot when it's time? When
you
guys
you know what it is.
You guys are always.
I think it's time to talk about happy hour guys because I think the happy hour guys, their best episode ever was when they went to Peekskill, hung out with you, and filmed the cool ship. There was even steam.
Well,
on the
best
camera.
Part of that was that we had real voiceover guys there, right?
Remember
your friends?
we had a bunch
who are actually regulars. That's a great story.
Pro voiceover guys who came in and were so taken with the beer that they just started riffing on how awesome it
like
was.
Like voices that you would recognize.
Oh yeah, guys. That do like movie trailers and all this kind of stuff.
So what was it like? Shooting, you guys go out and you shoot your videos, but you went to a brewery.
Well, you know, the hook of the show is we're both Broadway guys, right? So we're Broadway actors. We do musicals and plays and wherever the job takes us, that's where we shoot. So actually, we got a bunch of good content coming up. We were in San Francisco. We shot at Lagunitas. We were just in Texas. We shot down at Community Brewing, and we did a little whiskey episode at Balcones down in Waco, which is kind of a cool place.
Oh, that's a crazy story.
Really interesting
biker
story.
Town.
Yeah. So we got a lot of, but we had a great time. And Chief, because he's so close to the city, he's always been, when he was at Peekskill, it was a really great place for us to, we were always there. We stopped by a lot.
He did.
So we had a lot of friends come up and help us shoot sometimes. And
how did you shoot the, you were in the cool ship room, like there was like steam and stuff.
Yeah. We broke a camera. We definitely lost one camera that day. Yeah. But it's okay. It was an old camera and it was ready to go.
And you've been dying to give us a special announcement. So
Well, the special announcement is just the new content coming up and the fact that we're now over 300 episodes. We'll be posting 310 right. soon.
Wow. Yeah. That's why I'm calling you the Mile High guys.
the guys who, you know what, we're a little too dumb to stop. That's what it is. We just keep on going. So it's good.
Love having you on the show, man.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
Well, this is fun. So we've been talking about Jeff's The Industrial Arts. I can't believe I know the name already.
I know. I feel like I'm in on something.
You and everybody else now.
Yeah. But it's a long process, isn't it? So you think another
year.
It is.
I think, yeah. I mean, let me put the caveat out there. This has been my comeuppance for asking every one of my peers who's opened a brewery, when are you going to open, right? I'm going to open as soon as I fucking can, right? There's nobody that wants to open this more than me. So
true that.
When you ask... If I am snippy with you, that's why.
And how can people keep up?
I think
up
it's
with
realistic
you,
to think about it a year.
Should people?
You know, yeah. We're really close to launching. Like, I'm working with a graphic designer, illustrator friend on the brand. But so we have the name.
Got to get your trademark done.
Yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
So we have the intellectual property covered, and pretty soon we will start a social media type thing. But I don't want to do it too soon. You know,
yeah. Well, it's like a new book. You have to wait until it's really ready. Let's jump from that because
I think a year is a reasonable.
So you're a story that everyone wants to know, but that story is going to sit for a little bit because we want your beer. Are you making any other beers in the meantime?
Well, yeah, actually, I've been doing some collaborations.
What?
And I'm trying to stay busy. Yeah,
excellent.
I made a beer at Threes. We're with the guys at Threes on Friday. That place is so great.
It's awesome.
Has everybody been there? You haven't been
Fourth
there?
Avenue.
Yeah. But what beer did you make, and when's that coming out?
We made a really interesting beer. It's a mango beer that we fermented just with Brettanomyces clausenii, which is the real fruity Brett.
I think variety. I dated her in college.
Greg loves that.
You're married, Jeff.
Oh, sorry,
Jim.
And so we chopped a lot of mangoes, and we had a really great day. And that place is beautiful. And they have a great vibe going on there.
Yeah.
From top to bottom. And I made a beer at Barrier a few weeks before that. That's a collaboration that we did earlier on that you may already know about, the Cooper's House IPA.
Well, that's great. I didn't know about it.
We made it first at Greenport Harbor in December, and it was right around the time that Cooper's was opening their spot in Chelsea.
So right. Cooper's Craft, they have a place East Village.
Yeah, two spots now. Yeah,
and it's their house IPA. And then we brewed a second batch at Barrier
With Evan. Was it Evan that was there? Or?
Evan was there. Yeah. Yep. And it's a collaboration with Greenport, Barrier, Peekskill, and Cooper's.
Awesome.
And it's been, nice. We've had a couple of really, really fun days doing that. I made a beer at Hill Farmstead in April, which was fun. And I'm trying to do like one a month for the rest of the year.
Let's keep up with that, Jeff,
right now.
Everybody loves your beer.
Yeah.
I want to ask Dave Broderick one more question about the beanery. So the background, which is really cool, is that what? You guys are making it with Dave Yarrington.
Right.
Smut Labs.
Smut Lobes? That's a different show.
Wow.
That's a different show.
Radio.
I don't know where to go with that.
Not this show.
So, yes. What was the question?
How does the brewer's craft impact your beer? You have the coffee bean aspect.
Right. Well, in the very beginning, obviously.
Is it a challenge for him?
Yes. And it's good. One of the reasons that we're really happy to be working with Dave is he has a big chemistry background. And so, you know, we spent 6 months trying to figure out how we wanted to get the coffee flavor into the beer. And some of it was not very good. You know, it took us a while. And we're still working on it. Every time we make a batch, it's a little bit different. Mm. And so, I think it's very important. You know, who is making it. I mean, obviously, it's, you know, we have brewers that we all gravitate towards that, you know, fit our sort of taste buds and our palates and stuff. And I've always really enjoyed his beers. And I think he's...
Hear, hear.
I think he's, you know, Dave, just like Jeff, he can make a lot of different styles. He's good with sours. He's good with hoppy beers. But he's especially good with malty beers, I think. And... You know, I think that's going to really bode well for Beanery going forward. You know, that experience that he's had with that.
Where so. Actually are you guys brewing? Where?
At Smut Labs, which is the old Smut Labs. Smutty Nose.
Okay.
It's kind of their, now it's their experimental. That's why they call it Smut Labs.
New Hampshire, right?
In New Hampshire, Portsmouth.
Right in Portsmouth there?
Yep.
Yeah, we've shot there. We shot right before they left.
Right.
That's right. Okay.
And, yeah, it's kind of old funky place. And I love going, you know, any chance to go to the beach.
Yep. It's right there.
It's great.
Yeah.
And Charlie Ireland, who's actually the head brewer there, is a great guy, and he's got a great team. So it's just now that the big brewery has moved out and they're kind of left to their own devices, it's got like a really good feel to it, a really good vibe.
It's like a playground, right?
It's totally a playground. And they get to, you know, do a lot of crazy stuff. And so they're having a lot of fun. And Smut Labs, just like some other, you know, places that wanted to do contract, their own brand of Smut Labs is really taking off much more so than they thought it would. And so we're fighting for tank space, just like everybody else. But it's been really, it's a great place to work. It's perfect for us.
Are you the perfect. Only brand that's outside brand? That's
you know, Zero Gravity, Paul Saylor's brand was brewing there, but now he just finished his brewery, his production brewery.
Oh, cool.
So I think there's maybe one or two small projects that are going on in there, but yeah, it's mainly now us and Smut Labs.
You and Smut Labs. Cool.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
This is a subject for another time, but I feel like when you do something like that, you should like BYOT, should bring your own tank.
I know.
You show up with
actually,
a
Dave suggested that.
That probably comes up every time.
Show up with 100
every time. Every it's only $10,000. Right? Come on. Like
it's just part of his email signature to you.
Yes. When are you buying that out of tank? We wanted to do nitro, and he's like, so get me a pressurized tank. That's no problem.
That's awesome.
So that's it.
That's it.
In a nutshell.
And then let's have Luke one more time. Luke?
Yeah.
Where's the Beanery Trail tonight in New York City?
The Beanery Trail will go from here. We're going to go straight to Mugs, have a few beers there, then on to Jimmy's 43, and then end up at the Proletariat.
I love those bars.
And Jimmy, you got what? Cool. The Happy Hour Guys?
Happy Hour Guys is, yeah, cooling. Man, it's actually kind of cool. Mark Aldrich has been on the national tour of Newsies for the last year. We're about to get him back, and we are going to shoot until our eyes bleed. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
And let's get you, Dave, you guys brought also down your chef, Jason Merrill from Worthy Burger and Worthy Kitchen. Jason, we didn't get to talk to you too much, but thanks for coming down.
Yeah, that's okay. I was just been back here drinking the beer and doing the social media stuff. So.
And if we go up to Vermont, what are some of your top dishes on your menus now?
Well, I've been drinking the beer at the restaurant, so they kicked me out of the kitchen, which is good, and I'm dealing with the Beanery stuff up in Vermont, doing the northern part of the state mostly lately, which is fun.
Brisket bomb.
Oh, yeah, the brisket bomb.
Oh, and actually, tell them about
the Worthy bomb,
okay,
which is new, brand new.
This Worthy bomb, it's really, really amazing. It's a two little griddled patties of burger with a piece of fried chicken in the middle, some American cheese on a Worthy bun. It's pretty much a heart attack when you walk out the door, but it is the best thing that you will ever eat.
The other one? What's the brisket bomb? What's that?
Yeah, what's the brisket bomb again? I just ate it. It was so good.
Brisket bomb. It's on a pretzel bun with slow-roasted brisket overnight. It has
brisket chunks.
Yeah, brisket chunks like a local mozzarella, caramelized onion, arugula, and a house mustard.
Ian Campbell.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Blind Tiger, Worthy, whatever. Beanery. Yeah. Favorite place to drink beer in New York City, not Blind Tiger?
I actually think it is Proletariat, so I'm lucky because we're going there tonight.
Yeah. All right. Jeff O'Neill. Okay, since you're making beer all over the place, where would you like to go out tonight? Anywhere in New York City.
Mugs Ale House.
Good man.
Jimmy's number 43 and Proletariat.
All right. And Chris Balla. What's on tap at Grand Army right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'll just shout out Greenpoint When Life Hands You. It's a kettle sour with sriracha yeast. I think it's delicious.
And that's great. These guys are making beer. What? Is it Greenpoint?
Yeah, it's
Brooklyn?
Yeah, Ed Raven from Raven Imports in Brewery Lane opened a brew pub called Dirk the Norseman, and they have a 10-barrel brew house in the back of that space. They're about to expand. They're doing mostly kind of old world, vaguely Germanic stuff, but also some fun
And that's great. They're really things. Catching
They've
on.
Probably been open about a year.
My last name is Ludwig. I'm also vaguely Germanic. Just letting you know.
All right. In closing, I'd like to thank our sponsors at Union Beer Distributors who helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to everybody on the show, Jimmy, Jeff, Dave, Luke, Ian, Jason, and Chris, for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy, and our engineer extraordinaire, Jack Inslee, who's going to Bonnaroo. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Yeah.
To this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.